Amen. I knew I'd be against the clock today, so I'm not going to have you stand and open. The scriptures will be on the screen today, but I just want to ask you a question, thinking about this morning to kind of set this up today. Can a person change? Do you believe a person can change? There are many. Thank you, Pastor Steve. Amen. And they do a great job. Always an awesome job. Got a great church, man. But I hear this a lot, that people ask me that question a lot. Can a person change? We hear things like, well, once a cheater, always a cheater. Once a liar, always a liar. Once a gambler, once a whatever. And that is a thing that we have probably all said or heard said to us. And it's a question that I'm asked all the time, whether it be through a spouse with tears asking me, you know, he did it again. Is it possible that he can change? I've been asked that question by people in jails, prisons, hospital rooms, counseling sessions. And it's a question that I always answer the same way. And it's like this: they can change only by the Spirit of God. Because I have seen people where it looked like they turned over a new leaf and they might have gotten married, even a good job, an education, but 5-10 years down the road, they end up going back to it, and it's happened more times than not, and it's become just perpetuating that stereotype in many of our minds, thinking that people really can't change. And so I get the pessimism, I get the criticism and the critical thinking, and on that, I deal with it a lot as a pastor, talking with people, that people are like losing hope. But I'm here to tell you that it can happen, but it only can happen by the power and help of the Holy Spirit. Because when I look into the Word of God, I find people that were one way, but then they changed, and they changed forever. I find people like a prostitute who was known for being a prostitute all of her life, and she encountered the power of God and watched the walls of Jericho fall down, and she left that lifestyle and became a woman of nobility, honor, and loyalty, and was even in the bloodline of Jesus Christ the Messiah. That's Rahab the harlot. I can tell you about a young shepherd boy who was known for being just a psalmist and a shepherd boy, insignificant, irrelevant, unable to do anything, and he's even overlooked and last picked for anything. But in one afternoon, he went from a shepherd boy to a giant killer and ended up being the greatest king Israel ever seen. I can tell you that there was a man in the Bible who had a speech impediment and was not a very good leader and couldn't speak and didn't want to be in front of people and ran from the call. But God raised him up to be the greatest deliverer that Israel has ever seen, to take millions of slaves from Egypt to God's promised land. I can tell you in the New Testament, God found 12 ragged blue-collar fishermen and turned them around to be the greatest apostles that changed this world that we've ever seen. I can tell you that there's a God in heaven that can change a man that struggled all of his life to be a deceiver and a manipulator and a trickster, but he got a hold of the angel of God and said, I will not let go until you change me. What am I talking about this morning? I'm talking about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And that's what I want to preach to you this morning. The ministry of the Holy Spirit. We raised money for missionaries. We honored God. We've done that. But let me tell you something. Now it's time for the Holy Spirit to go back to work in the hearts and lives and families and marriages and single people and older people. He's got a work that he wants to do in all of our lives if we would just allow him to have his way. This is the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Next week, the attention of the whole world is going to turn toward Jesus Christ, and rightfully so. We're going to talk about Palm Sunday, and we're going to have Good Friday services, and Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, even with water baptism, amen, that's all happening. But can I tell you right now, let's not overlook the power and the presence of the third Godhead, the third Trinity person of the Godhead, and that is the precious Holy Spirit. By doing this, I'm going through my devotions Some time ago, I come across this guy in the Old Testament. So I'm going to go to the Old Testament and use a guy from the Old Testament to help me explain to you the ministry of the Holy Spirit. How many know the Old Testament is just as important as the New Testament? The Old Testament is the foundation. The New Testament is the fulfillment. The Old Testament is filled with types and shadows of what was going to come and what was going to happen. And the New Testament is the fulfillment of all of that, whether it be the lamb that was slain and sacrificed and the blood atoned for the sins and they put it over the doorpost. That was a setup, a typology of the Lamb of God that will come on the scene from a city of Nazareth. Behold, the Lamb of God, John the Baptist said, that taketh away the sins of the world. We're going to get there next week. But let me tell you, the Holy Spirit is also introduced to us from the second scripture of the Bible. In the very first scripture, in the beginning, God. How many of you know God's always been there, whether you acknowledge him or not, whether you're in here and you don't even believe. I'm telling you, God will not go away just because you don't believe in him. When you look back there, it was God. When you look right now, it's God. And when you look 20 years from now, it's still going to be God. I feel like preaching today. In the beginning, Elohim. God, it's a plural title for God. And we know what that plural title is because the second verse, it says, and the Spirit of the Lord hovered over the face of the deep. The Holy Spirit is introduced to us as an agent of movement. He's the one that goes when God speaks. He's the one that shows up in your life. He's the one that goes right to work. He's the contractor. God is the architect. And the Holy Spirit is the contractor. Jesus Christ is the blueprint. How many know the Holy Spirit's job is to make us like the blueprint, which is Christ Jesus? How many would say there's a lot more work to be done in my life? Amen. Some of y'all lying in church. Amen. It's the Holy Spirit. And then all through the Old Testament, let me get into this. The Holy Spirit, he shows up. In Exodus 31, he shows up. God says that I will put my spirit upon the craftsmen and give them a spirit of wisdom and understanding, and they will build my temple or the tabernacle. And here in 1 Kings, and I think we have it on the screen, I want to pick this guy named Hiram. Everybody say Hiram. Hiram. I'm giving out baby names if you're looking for a baby name. Hiram. You may have it Hiram, Hiram. He's in 1 Kings chapter 7, just two verses that we have of this guy. He's another type of the Holy Spirit. Now, King Solomon sent and brought Hiram from Tyre. Next one. Let's right on go. And go. Pray for Nick. Here he is. He was the son of a widow from the tribe of Naphtali. And his father was a man of Tyre, a bronze worker. He was filled, here it is, with wisdom and understanding and skill in working with all kinds of bronze works. So he came to King Solomon and he did all. Somebody say all. He did all the work of the Lord. And then down in verse 40, this is what he did. In verse 40, it says, Hiram made three things. He made the lavers, he made the shovels, and he made the bowls. These are what he's forever known for doing as the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. And I was reading this and the Lord just put this into my heart and said, that's still the job description of the Holy Spirit. He's here to build lavers, shovels, and bowls. Tap somebody and say, he's going somewhere this morning. He's going somewhere this morning. Good to have Joshua Markham with us from the U.S. Navy on the front row. Amen. My nephew. Looking so awesome up on that base. He's here because he helps us in our worship team. We need help. We always need help. Every church always needs help, no matter how big it gets. And you and I need help as well to become like Christ. And the Bible says that God has sent us the Holy Spirit who will be this helper. Now, Hiram, this name, first of all, it's not a very attractive name. It's not a name that jumps out to you. It's not a name that you would probably choose to name your child. In fact, we would probably skip right over it And that's the first thing I want you to know about the Holy Spirit. He's the same way in churches today. People skip right over the Holy Spirit. We're all about Jesus. We're okay with God the Father, but that Holy Ghost thing, that speaking in tongues thing, that moving around, that prophesying, that woo-woo stuff, that I like to be like this, and amen, and be in control. And I have a tendency, you have a tendency to do it. But when the Holy Spirit shows up, you and I have got to learn to yield to one that is greater than I and say, whatever it is you want to do in my life, you'll do it. Everybody else overlooked Hiram, but Solomon said, no, I need him to help me finish the work of the temple. Can I tell you that you also are the temple of God? Scripture says it like this, 1 Corinthians 3:16. Know ye not, that's King James. I've memorized a lot of scripture in the King James. But don't you know you are the temple of the living God and the Spirit of God dwells in you? Do you realize you have more power in you than you think? If we would just get that revelation right there that you and, this is New Testament, you and I are the temple of the living God and the Spirit of God dwells in you. That's how people were able to do these things and these incredible feats that we see in Scripture. 12 rugged fishermen that turn the world upside down. Whether you believe in Jesus or not, I told this guy at the gym, well, but he goes, I don't believe in Jesus. You know, he's just a historical figure. I said, he was quite the historical figure. What do you mean? I said, well, what year is it? He said, it's 2025. I said, 2025 what? 2025 years since the life and story, death and resurrection of one man, Jesus Christ. How many know he's changed history? And you and I have a choice whether or not we're going to believe he is the Messiah or not. I beg you today, believe he's the Messiah. Put your whole faith and your whole heart in him, and you'll see him turn your life around and change you from the inside out. Hiram is the guide. Holy Spirit, you are the temple. And just like Hiram was hired to help complete the temple of the Lord, Jesus paid the price for the Holy Spirit to help you and I become like him. Jesus said in John 14, he said, I will pray to the Father and he will give you another helper. I will give you another helper that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. The world can't receive without God, without turning to God. This whole thing and idea of what I've been saying to you so far, it seems so foreign. It seems so way out there, some fanatical or something wild. The Bible says it's because your eyes haven't been opened. The world can't even see the helper. It neither sees him nor knows him, but Jesus says, but you know him, for he dwells with you, watch this, and he will be in you. Next time I'll explain that a little deeper, because the Holy Spirit was not given to every person when we call upon him until after Jesus rose from the dead. But we do see instances like this guy, Hiram, in the Old Testament, where the Spirit of the Lord would come upon him to complete a certain task. But you and I have the helper. Everybody say, I got help. Have you ever needed help? You got help. You have help. You have help to do what? You have help to make it through chaos. You have peace in the middle of chaos. We have families in our church right now going through it, man. Going through it, praying for the Spence family. Their daughter, 25 years old, suffered a stroke. She was up at the hospital, and I was talking with her the other day. She said, but we've been through so much with her with medical issues. That God has provided and healed her of brain cancer. God healed her and turned her around, and I know God's going to do it yet again. By the way, she's moved out of the hospital and she's in a rehabilitation place. She's able to move, her becoming more and more mobile. Her face, I looked at her, she was smiling and talking. And Dawn looked at me and she said, I don't know how to explain it, but we just have peace. I said, you don't have to explain it to me, because yeah, I know you got to help her. I know what that is. It's because you got to help her. But people don't see that. People don't know that until you have the helper in your life. The helper comes and he helps us. He helps us through difficult time. The Holy Spirit helps us live for Jesus. And that's what I wanted to get in here today. Hiram is known for these three specific works in the temple: to build lavers, shovels, and bowls. And I'm not going to get to all three. I already know it. But I want to get to the first and main part. This is the first work that the Holy Spirit does. And this is what he's going to do right now. He's already doing it. Some of you, he set you up for this right here. I got a little amen back there. Amen. And it's this thing about a laver. I begin to read it. Hiram, first thing he did is he made these lavers for the temple. He made them big and he made them small. What is a laver? A laver is a place where the priest would use. I think we got a picture of it. I want you to see it. It's a picture of a place where the priest would go and they would wash themselves before they went to service. That was a laver. It was made out of bronze. Bronze is always something that we can see. All of these have got, there's 3 weeks worth of teaching on the tabernacle and on the temple, on the utensils and furniture. The Ark of the Covenant, I just saw on the news the other day that the government, they believe they might have found it or something, and they were talking about it. And I told this guy, he said, "You think that's real?" I said, "If God wants us to find it, he'll let us find it." I said, "But you can have the thing that's even better than that golden box. You can have the Spirit of the living God living inside of you right now." Said it in a conversation. But the laver, I want you to see this. This laver was a very important piece of furniture. It was a place that the priests would wash their hands. They would wash their feet. They would wash their face. They would wash up of it, wash themselves up before they begin to conduct the service of the temples. And I want you to see this, that this happened after the sacrifice of the lamb, which took away their sins. This is something I want to talk to you Christians about. This is the work of the Holy Spirit that he wants to do. We have this saying, you know, you don't clean the fish before you catch the fish. You catch the fish, then you clean the fish, right? That means you don't try to make yourself holy and then come to God. You come to God just as you are. Absolutely. I mean, how many say amen to that? Number one, because you can't cleanse yourself good enough. You can't be good enough, so quit trying. You may be a great person and give a lot of money to missions, but you cannot earn salvation. You cannot earn righteousness. It is still man-made righteousness. But the grace of God at the same time is not into earning, but he is into effort. That after the sacrifice was made, which atoned for the sins of the priest and the people, then God instructed them to walk over and take some of that water, which is a symbol of the Holy Spirit, and allow that water to wash them and cleanse them on the inside. Their pure mind and their pure hearts, their sin has been atoned for, but now they are still the same. They need a change before they begin to be used of God in a mighty way. Am I in a Pentecostal church this morning? It's that holiness, it's that purity, that the first work that the Holy Spirit does, guys, ladies and gentlemen, is he goes to work on the inside of us to make us different than we were. God loves you the way you are, but he loves you too much to leave you the way you are. This is where we get the whole idea of sanctification, a big 5-syllable word, which means to live differently now that you've encountered Jesus. Rahab the harlot, you don't go back to living as Rahab the harlot. You don't go back living that kind of life because you've been changed by the power of God. And look what she did. She was able to be in the life lineage of Jesus Christ. What if she went back to her old life and said, "Man, I saw the walls come down. That was amazing. Even got an Instagram click. That was sweet." But she went back to her old life. We would not have her in Matthew, Mark, or Luke being in the lineage. Get me today. Tell your neighbor there's more to this than what you've been told. And in the American church today, we stop at the lamb being sacrificed to the world. And I'm telling you, there's nothing wrong with the Lamb of God. We're going to hear about it. I'm a gospel preacher, if you know me at all. I'm going to preach it through and through, but I'm telling you, there's more. There's something else that God wants to do. After Jesus died on a cross and rose again, he said, "Now, fellas, go to the upper room and don't start doing any work until you receive power from the Holy Spirit." If you got everything you ever need by just saying yes to Jesus and then that's it, then why would he say go and wait for more of the power of the Holy Spirit? This is our problem. This is why people said they go to church for 5 years, but they haven't been changed. They're hypocrites, and we start doing this to people, and it mixes them up and messes them up. I'm saying this. They might be saved. They may not be saved. The problem is they haven't allowed the water of the Holy Spirit, the cleansing and purifying work of the Holy Spirit, to get down into that nitty-gritty of their heart. I'm coming for you back there. Coming for all of us, because we all need this. We all need this. Let me show you some scriptures. I've been saying a lot, so let me back this up. Here's one, 2 Corinthians chapter 7 on the screen. This is New Testament. Is 2 Corinthians in the New Testament? Yes. This was Paul the apostle writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to a group of people that were wild and partying. Does it sound like some of y'all? I got both hands up in here. And look what he wrote to them. He says, now, therefore, having these promises, let's stop right there. What promises? I would take you back to the verses in front of it. And the verses are that God will be your God. He will walk among you. He will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. That's the promise. Therefore, having this promise that God wants to be with us and we be with him. Somebody say relationship. I preach relationship all the time. I've got a relationship with Jesus, not a religion. Yeah, that sounds good, brother, but is your relationship changing you? If not, you might have called it relationship, but it's just a dressed up religion with lipstick and you call it relationship. Because my Bible tells me if anybody encounter Jesus Christ and if anybody be in Christ Jesus, he is a, y'all know it, you are a new creation. Old things have passed. Old things. I will demonstrate for y'all today. Well, that wasn't me, Pastor Eddie. Well, this some of y'all. Money. I mean, I can pick your poison. We all got it. But the Bible says that once the Lamb has taken away our sin, that we are to go over to that laver and we are to allow the purifying work of the Holy Spirit to wash us and cleanse us in our mind and our thoughts. I'm not even finished with that scripture. Having these promises, beloved, that's that love. He says, beloved, let us, the writer of this is Paul, includes himself. Let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the love of God. Well, Bible, you read, y'all catching me? Some of y'all just got invited. This is your first time here. You're like, whoa. Welcome to River of Life. We're going to preach it hot and heavy, straight to you, because that's the only thing that's going to bring change. I can read a scripture and, hey, man, God bless you. And you go home, we walk out of here like the way we came. How many want a life change? How many want to encounter God in your life? Then I got the right people. That's why y'all here. That's what we're all about here. We got people sitting in these pews. You guys have had God change your life. Right, Tim? He's like, amen. This is how it happens. It's by receiving the word, even though it hits our toes. And even though it thins us, it pushes us back. Jesus' nickname is the great offense, the great offenser. He said, blessed is he who is not offended in me. But if we will let him, okay, that hit me a little bit, but I'm going to receive it. Then God will begin to do a change. But notice what he says, church, New Testament church, cleanse yourselves. He didn't say, let the blood of Jesus cleanse you from all righteousness, all unrighteousness. Now, does the blood of Jesus cleanse you? Yes, the blood of Jesus. But he says, you cleanse yourself from all unrighteousness and impurity of the Spirit. What does that mean? That means that the blood of Jesus takes away our sin, but the Holy Spirit makes us a new creation in Christ Jesus. There's two works that got to happen. Be dead to sin, but be alive to God. Be dead to sin, but live a new life to God. I broke up with the devil, but now I'm married. I ain't dating. I'm not visiting. I'm not seeing. I'm married to Jesus. Cleanse yourselves. Many of us have become deceived by grace. Deceived that grace is just a great cover-up. Listen, the grace of God is what allows us to stand here and not be smitten down because we're sinful, broken people. But the Bible says don't receive the grace of God in vain. How do you receive the grace of God in vain if it just covers us? No, because it does more than just covers us. It empowers us to go and sin no more. As Jesus told the woman caught in adultery, I love you, I pick you up, drop your stones, you without sin, cast the first stone. They all dropped them, and Jesus got down, the scripture says, and lifted up this woman who was caught in adultery, and he didn't condemn her. He loved her and said, I got a new life for you. I got a new future for you. And I could just see her sweating with her hair matted and scared and afraid, peeking through the hair and looking up and seeing Jesus' face, smiling at her, saying, I don't condemn you either. That's the good news of the gospel, but what I'm telling you is on the backside of the same coin. It's the part two. Read the story. It's in John 8. I'll save you time. Jesus says to her, rise up and leave this life of adultery. Go and sin no more. You and I cannot do that without the helper's help. That's my whole message. But the helper does help us to live holy. And listen, I believe, I'm not a date setter. I don't know when Jesus is going to return. But I don't feel comfortable going down too deep of what I want to tell you. But there are things happening right now. I would tell you within the next 2 years, we are going to see a different landscape of our country and of our world. I'm telling you, Jesus is getting ready to return. He's, believe it or not, listen, Paul believed it in his day. I get it. We're supposed to look for it, but I'm here to tell you, there are so many things happening right in front of our faces, and we are blinded to it. Back off, Eddie. Okay. Here's the message. Get ready. Get ready. If you stay ready, you don't got to get ready. Get ready. Stay ready. If he comes 20 years from now, fine. But if he comes tonight, I'm ready. Because he's coming for a church without spot or wrinkle. Why? He's coming for a bride that's pure. He's coming for a bride that's pure. Would you be mating? Would you marry a prostitute? Come on, just, all these analogies we have in scripture. No, Jesus is coming for a bride that is holy. We're only made holy by the help of the Holy Spirit. Here's another one, Malachi chapter 3. The Bible describes the Holy Spirit as being, and for he is like a refiner's fire and like a launderer's soap. He will sit like a refiner of silver. Look at this, burning away the dross. This is what the Holy Spirit does. He's like laundry soap. He will purify us, refining us like gold and silver so that we may once again offer acceptable sacrifices to the Lord. Let me tell you something. There is a purifying, here's my point. There is a purifying work of the Holy Spirit that he does on the inside of us. And whenever you and I take our thoughts that are ungodly, which happen all the time, they run through there. And if you're like me, when I got saved, man, it was just, I couldn't make it 5 minutes without these thoughts, these things coming through my past, all of that. And people said, man, you're getting brainwashed going to that church. And I said, no, I'm getting power washed. My mind didn't need to be washed. My mind needed to be power washed. And I did it. God did it through the washing of the word. And I still battle thoughts. I still will have the most craziest thought and ungodliest thought because this is a broken vessel. It'll happen during worship, and some of y'all probably had the same thing too. But this is what happens. I got a purifier inside of me. I got a helper who purifies those thoughts. They come in. He takes them. I cast them down. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4, taking these thoughts captive. Why would he say take them captive if he weren't going to have them? He says take every thought captive and take it under your feet. Every high imagination that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and bring it in its captivity to the obedience of Christ. I memorized that because I have to live it. Amen. Baby's helping me on the front row. She knows, go, Pastor, go. These babies know my voice. I walk by, hi, they all look. They've been hearing me since they were in the belly. Thank you, Jesus. The Holy Spirit does the work. purify. There is a purifying work. Come on, you got to let the refiner stay there. Let him purify you. Let him work. It's a work. It's a process. But you and I got to let him do it. Come on, we're ready to pray. You're ready to pray? Not yet. I got more. Come on, come on. I need 6 weeks to preach this. I'm just gonna tell you that right now. Come on, this is my favorite scripture that God showed me. Now listen, when I tell you that a person can change, you're looking at him. You hear my test. I know he can change from the inside out. I'm not perfect, but man, I'm telling you, there is a process that I've been in for 28 years, and this works. And many of you have been in that same process. It works. This is the verse that helped me because I said, God, I don't know if I can live this holy life. Because I like to do all of those things. My flesh loved it. And then I would try to act like I was in control and not do it all the time. But I was just fooling myself. Jesus says, whoever sins becomes a slave to sin. And that's exactly what it was. And I prayed and I said, God, how are you going to help me do this? When I surrendered my life to Jesus on that day and I said, okay, Jesus, come into my life 100%. I'm ready. I'm all in. He did. I felt the change. It wasn't a big change, but I felt the change. I felt peace come over me. And I was like, man, I went home and I got rid of all my drugs and everything, poured everything down. I did that radical revival repentance that is missing from the American church. Because if you get saved the right way, you'll live the right way. And if you come from, my old life was radical rebellion. And if you got radical rebellion, you need radical repentance. That's just how I'm going to preach it. That's what works for me. And so I got, our pastor was, he's a teacher, more of a preacher, but he used to bring those truths out, hot and heavy, boy. And I would sit there and I would take it and I was reading my word of God and I saw God was wanting to purify me. And then I went to this verse in Ezekiel and I love this. This is the Old Testament again. God is prophesying of what is going to happen in the New Testament with the help of the Holy Spirit through a prophet named Ezekiel. Well, that's an awesome name, Ezekiel. Then I will sprinkle, here's that clean water again. Holy Spirit, I will sprinkle the clean water on you and you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from your idols. I will give you a new heart. Here it is. And I will put a new spirit within you. I love this. I will take the heart of stone out of you, that prideful heart. That prideful heart that just stops God when he wants to come in. Everybody's worshiping. You're like, man, this is what? That hard heart that doesn't get in the word. That hard heart that the word I'm preaching just hits it like seed bouncing off a wall. That hard heart that just takes it and nothing changes. No fruit is produced. God says, I know you all have it. The Pharisees had it. Jesus is standing right in front of them. That's why he called them hypocrites and he went hard on them. Because they had this hard heart, but God says, I got hope for you. I will take the hard heart. I will take it out and I will give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my ways. I will cause you. I will push you. I will empower you. I will help you walk in my way. You used to be a liar. I'll help you be a truth person of integrity. You used to be a sexual promiscuous person. I will bring you to be a noble person and a committed person. You may have eyes and temptations all the time, every single day, but I got to help. Helper that will be with you. He will be in you. Where you go, I will go. Where you walk, I will walk. If you just let me get involved in your life. And I will cause you. I love that. That's what I was missing in my life. New Year's resolutions were broken the next day. Why? Because I didn't have the helper. But he says, I will cause you to walk in my way. Jesus, you want that for everybody in this building. You want everybody in this building to walk in victory, just like we want our children to walk in victory. You want your children to walk in victory. But you did something we can't do. You've given us the Holy Spirit. You've given us the precious power of the Holy Spirit, not meant for just, you know, tongues and prophecies. I believe in that. I use it. I pray in the Spirit every day. But the power of the Holy Spirit is worth so, is something that is way more even than that. It is something that helps us live in purity, helps us live in holiness. When we do lie, when you do go to that website, when you do take something that's not yours, the Holy Spirit says, what are you doing? You are a child of God. You need to walk away from that. You're getting that old heart back. Come on, get that out of you. I'm going to help you. Walk, follow me. Thank you, Jesus. How many need the helper today? How many want the helper? Because here's the thing, and I'm closing. The Holy Spirit is also a symbol in the Bible as a dove. He's gentle. He doesn't overpower, but he will empower. He's tried to get me so many times, but I wasn't ready and I wouldn't let him. But on November the 5th, 1997, I called out to him. And your Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So, do you want to... You want Hiram? Do you want Hiram to come and help work in your temple? First thing he's going to do, we're going to get to the shovel probably after Easter. We're going to get to the shovel and the bowl, the personal bowl. Oh, I can't wait to get there, Holy Ghosters. But the first work he does is that laver, that purifying work of the Holy Spirit. Now, 2 weeks ago, I preached on Isaiah. And we had people come up here to this altar and God began to do a work in your life. And I loved it. After the service, there was wet water drops all the way across here. Those were tears from what God was doing in your life. And I've been hearing it for 2 weeks. God changed you. There's somebody in our church been struggling with pornography for a very, 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 for years coming up in this church. And God broke it off of them right there in that pulpit.
Thank you, Lord.
Right there in that altar. I can go on and on and on. Don't quit going after God because the helper is just one breath away from you saying, I need you. So this is what we're going to do. We're going to close. I'm going to open these altars. We're going to sing one song and we're going to pray. I want to pray for you if you're in this place and you need the helper to come and help pure, do some pure. I think it's all of us, okay? Let me just be real. How many would say this got me, all this message got me? How many would say there's work the Holy Spirit needs to do in my life? So let's all stand. Let's all stand. I know all of us here, but I want to pray over those. I always look and think of myself. What if I was sitting here? There were times I was in church and the message would get me and I would say to myself, well, if he asks me to come up there, then I'll come up there. I did. I would say that. And I think there's people in here that's doing it. You don't need me to walk up and personally, the Holy Spirit's the one saying, hey, do you need me to work in your life? I want to come and work in your life. So I'm going to open these altars and we're going to sing one last song. And I want you to come. If you need the Holy Spirit to come and do that purifying work in your life, I don't care. People ain't going to judge you. This is what we do at church. This is what we do at church. We get right with God. We come before the Lord. If you need a purifying work to come into your life and to do that washing and cleansing, I want you to come out of your seat. I want to pray for you. I want you to come right here, and I'm going to pray over you. And then our altar workers are going to pray over you if you need to get healed or if you need a sickness, you know, something. But I want to pray over those that need that purifying work of the Holy Spirit. Come on right here. Don't be afraid. Come right here in the middle. Right here, right here. This is it. It's going to break off your life. I don't care what it is. I don't care how you feel on the inside of you. Yeah, amen, amen, amen. Right here, love it. Feel it right. Those of you that are at home, Holy Spirit can reach you right there at home. Respond. Say, that's me. I need the Holy Spirit to purify that work. And the rest of you, just get your eyes on him. Close your eyes. Get your eyes upon the Lord. Get your eyes upon the Lord. Everybody else, you can just worship. Pray for them down here. But we're going to let the Lord just begin to move in their life in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Well, amen and amen. I pray that message was a blessing to you, that you received some sort of encouragement or word of instruction from the Lord. That's our prayer at River of Life, that every time you tune in, that God speaks directly to your heart. Well, this is Pastor Eddie again. Just want to say thank you for listening to our podcast and remind you that every Tuesday, a new message is uploaded. Also, if you want to watch one of our services, head over to our YouTube channel. It's River of Life Church, a church of His presence, His promises, and all people. And you can watch one of our services that way as well. So God bless you. I pray God's presence be with you for the rest of the week. Amen.